I would like to thank God and thank the leaders of the church for the opportunity you've given to me to share God's word tonight. I was told to preach on the topic, our specific assignments. Our specific assignments. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the topic. We thank you for everything. We pray that, Lord, you yourself come and speak your word tonight so that in the end, your name will be glorified. We thank you for the answered prayer. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Remember, we read 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 15. And according to the text, we read that, or we go to know that Uriah's wife, David slept with Uriah's wife. And the Bible says that it was springtime that they were supposed to go to war. But David did not go. And the Bible says he was just relaxing. He was just in his room. Maybe he was sleeping. And he just stood up. And he was walking one day on the roof of his building, of his palace. And the Bible says that he saw a woman. Her name is Bathsheba. And that is Uriah's wife. And she was attracted by him. And she sent some of his messengers to go and call her for him. And they went. And when she came, the Bible says that he slept with her. Now the question is that, how did he see Bathsheba taking her bath? You know, in those days, their buildings were built such that the roofs were flat. Okay? So David was just walking on top of his palace. And his building was very tall than most of the buildings. And in their washrooms, in their bathrooms, it was built in the sense, in a way that it was a kind of open top, not covered. So David, standing on that high building, was able to see Bathsheba bathing. And he was attracted by, she was attracted by David. And David asked the messengers to go and call her for him. And David slept with Bathsheba. And this time around, Bathsheba has been pregnant. And she went, she just sent a message to David. And David was finding a way to cover the shame. So he asked Uriah to come from the battlefield so that he will go and sleep with his wife so that he'll be responsible for the pregnancy. But when Uriah came, he said, I cannot just go and sleep. Why, my fellow soldiers are fighting right on the battlefield. How can I go and make love with my wife? No, it won't happen. I can go. It didn't work for David. So what David did was that he manipulated, he found a way to plan to kill who? Uriah. Now, in this passage, let's try to look at three main points. I don't know whether I'm projecting it. Three main points. The first point is neglect of duty. Neglect of duty. We see this from verse 1. In verse 1, we see that the soldiers, almost everybody was playing his role. The soldiers, everybody. And David was supposed to go to the war to play his role as a leader of his forces. But he didn't go. And now he was just sleeping. He was just, relaxing in his room. And he stood up walking on top of the palace. And he noticed that Bathsheba was bathing. And she was attracted by him. He just called her and slept with her. And now Bathsheba is what? Pregnant. And now what do we see here? David did not go to the war. He neglected his duty as a leader of his forces. He neglected his duty as a commander-in-chief, and he was just relaxing. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, sometimes we see this one in our ministry, in our churches. We have so many assignments, so many things, so many duties to do. Remember here, Joab was performing his specific role, his specific assignment. Uriah was doing his assignment, specific role, duty. But David didn't go. Most of the time, we neglect our duties. We don't want to do our duty. The question is why? Maybe because of a kind of lackadaisical attitude. In other words, I don't care attitude. We don't care. It is what exactly what goes on in most of our churches, even today. I met a brother in Vancouver where I was living, Jonathan City. Jonathan, Commercial Broadway, you know, the First Avenue. Yeah. And in Canada, you don't need a permit to go out there to preach God's word, no. Provided you don't make noise to disturb others. However, if you are making noise, the police will come to you, hey, calm down. So it's free. So many people just go there, share God's word. So here's a guy that he was preaching God's word, and he told me, Francis, I love to preach God's word because I take God's work as my own work. And I said, wow, that is good. So, you know, every day I pray. Every day I pray for his power, his anointing, for me to be able to move on with the ministry. Because if I've taken God's work as my work and something is going wrong, I feel it because I take it as my own work. I think this guy was right. Today, I think we must take God's work as our own work. When something is going wrong, we can feel it. When God's work is not progressing, we can feel it. We can rise up. So this is my work. Something is going wrong. I have to rise up to do something for my Lord. Do we take God's work as our own work? Are we seriously doing God's work? It's a big challenge for us. I think another reason why David did not go to the war is a kind of fear. He was entertaining a kind of fear that maybe he will die. Right? Because if you go to war, you can die. So he was just relaxing out of fear. Do you want to rise up and do something for the Lord and fear is preventing you from doing it? I want to encourage you tonight that you have somebody, his name is Jesus Christ. He will encourage you. He will motivate you. He will hold you with his helping hand and say, let's move on. My sister, my brother, you can do it. We can do something. You can do something. God has assigned, given us something to do, you know, for his own glory. But because of fear, sometimes we don't want to do it. Sometimes, my brother, my sister, you can sing in the house of God. You can do something. You can do counsel in the house of God. You have that talent. But because of fear, I cannot do it. I cannot do spirit. But remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, said, God has not given you a fear for what? Give a spirit. Never be afraid. There's something good in you that you can do in the house of God. There's something good in you that God expects you to show it. You have that talent. It doesn't matter. It can be one talent. It can be two talents. It can be whatever. Anything that you can do in the house of God for the glory of God, rise up. Let us all come together and do it for the glory of God. God can use you. Throw away that fear. Leave that fear behind, because God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. Amen. I think one thing that we can also talk about is that, yes, we can be fearful, all right. We need to fight a good fight. And in verses 2 to 5, I'll talk about verses 2 to 5. The great man has fallen. The great man has fallen. We see here that David has slept with Uriah's wife. And he has fallen. David was a great king, and he was somebody who was on the heart of God. God loved him so much, but he fell. As Christians, we are called priesthood of believers. All of us, we are priests. I will explain to you why. In the Old Testament, the priests were performing the sacrifices of animal sacrifices. And today, Jesus Christ has done it once and for all for us. Okay? So we don't perform those animals and those sacrifices again. However, the Bible continues to say that we are the priesthood of believers. How can we be priests? He's trying to compare us with the priests who were performing those animal sacrifices in those time or in those days. And now he said we are priests. So it means that if we are compared with those priests and they were performing kind of animal sacrifice and those things, that it means that we are also performing some sacrifices. Now the question comes, what kind of sacrifices are we performing as believers? Why are we priests? We are priests because we all sacrifice what? Worship. Because, you know, there was a song in those days, I was in secondary school, which is, we bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto thee the sacrifice, the form of thanksgiving. And we all Pharaoh. I'm not a good singer, though. I'm not a good singer. So we make sacrifices of praise. We make sacrifices of worship. We make sacrifices of thanksgiving. We make sacrifices of all kinds of ministries, the services that we do in the house of God. So we are priests. That is the meaning. That is why the Bible says that we are what? The priesthood of believers. Those sacrifices are not performed anymore today. But because of the sacrifices of worship, the sacrifices of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifices of the service and the ministries, everything that we are doing in the house of God, that is why the Bible says that we are all priests. In spite of all these things, we can also fall. It is possible. Because the king, David, also fell. But the question is, when we fall, we don't have to be lying there. We need to rise up. And I want to encourage you that, you know, if you are genuinely saved, if I am genuinely saved, God will never take my salvation and he will never take your salvation, because you are planted in the grace. You see, when you plant something here in your garden, you don't go the next day and the thing is here. It's still there. Hallelujah. So we are planted in the grace and we grow in the grace. You know, like a child, when a baby or a child is learning how to walk, sometimes you will fall down, right? We've been mothers, we've been fathers before. So or even still, we are fathers, mothers. We fall, but as he learns how to walk, he's able to stand on his feet. Amen. Even as adults, sometimes we fall. I remember some few days ago, there was this kind of slippery snow. I was going to buy something out there, and I was just walking, I will tell you. I didn't know, all of a sudden I fell. Oh, come on. Like anything. I said, wow, this is Germany. This is Germany. Wow. I don't see this in my country, Ghana. My God. Praise the Lord. I fell. And I saw somebody falling over there. I saw, and the children were laughing. And the children, they know the skills were working. They go like this. I said, and they'll say, oh my God. People were failing. But those who failed did not remain there. They did what? They rose up and moved on. Hallelujah. Maybe you fell down 10 years ago in Houghton. Are you still lying over there? 10 years you are lying down? You rose up. I rose up. Let me know if you are here, you have not fallen down before. Raise your hand. Almost everybody. But we rise up and say, I want to move on. And that day, those who went to work, they went. Those who went, they say, and at the end of the day, we were able to achieve our aims. We were able to do whatever we wanted to do, right? Hallelujah. See, we can fall down. But when, we can fall. But when we fall, we must rise up. We must rise up and do our Father's ministry. Maybe 2017, 2016, you were so active in doing the ministry. But something happened, and because of that thing, that thing that has been like a burden on you, and you, or me, I like preaching a kind of all-inclusive message, right? I try to add myself. You see, like me, you know? And because of that, we find it difficult to do God's ministry 2017. Let somebody rise now and do his Father's work in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's come together. It doesn't matter what happened. Let's rise again and do our Father's job, because he has called us to do. You have something. You have talent. Everyone has something in him. Why are you just sitting down? Why am I sitting down? Why is it that we don't rise up? David was not trying to rise up when he fell. He was trying to find a means to cover his shame. That is why he called Joab from the battlefield. And he was manipulated, finding a way for him to go and sleep with his what? With his what? With his wife, Bathsheba. So that Uriah would be responsible for what? For the pregnancy. But it didn't work for David. Are we rising up to do our Father's work? There's something in you, sister, brother. There's something in you that you can do in the house of God. There's something in you. There's a special, something specific that you can do for the glory of God. You have a duty. You can sing for the glory of God. You can sing. It doesn't matter what people will look at you. The sister fell. You know, I saw her at Bahnhof. She was doing this. And so what? Let's move on and do our Father's work. Amen. Now, I'm not going to keep so much of your time. Let's talk about the last point. Thinking of shame more than rising up. Thinking of shame more than rising up. Now, if you read verses 6 to 15, you see that David was thinking of shame more than rising up. How? How? Because if you read 16 to 15, David, what he was doing was simple. He was trying to manipulate. I'm not perfect in doing this. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you, Heather. David was manipulated, finding a way. How? He called Uriah back home. That's Joab, you are the commander. I just want Uriah to come home. Why? Because he wanted Uriah to go and sleep with his wife so that the shame will come. And it will never expose. But I don't know what happened. Uriah said, no. How can I go to my house and make love with my wife? Why there's a battle between the Ammonites and the Israelites fighting? People, you know, we are defending our kingdom. I cannot even sleep. I cannot even eat. I cannot just go to my... I can't sleep. So I don't want to go. David was sitting down. Okay. Remember, David was a great warrior. Okay. Okay. If you don't want to go, tomorrow morning, I'm going to give you a letter. Okay? You go back to the battlefield. It's okay. Yes, sir. All right. And he wrote a letter. Maybe he sat down in writing... Dear Joab, how is the battle? I believe that everything is well. I just called Uriah home, but I'm sending him back to the battlefield. Punt. The Germans will say punt. Praise the Lord. However, put him at the battle front, at where the battle is so hot. And after you have done that, try to pull the troop, the soldiers. Leave Uriah alone so that he will die. And this letter was sent to who? Joab, the army commander, right? And David is the chief army commander, whatever. But he didn't play his role. And now, what has happened? When Uriah sent the letter to Joab, Joab obeyed his master and did exactly so for David. So he put Uriah at where the battle was so hot. And Joab pulled the troop, took the soldiers from that point, and it was left with Uriah alone. So just imagine what will happen. He did what? He died. And it was later that God sent Nathan to go and reprimand David, and he came back to his senses. And some scholars are saying that, and based on that, he wrote Psalm 51. That cleans my heart. But this time around, limiting ourselves to this passage, David did not do that. He was trying to cover. Instead of rising up, instead of waking up, instead of saying, I know I've sinned, God, you say you are on your heart. I want to rise up and move on with you. David did not do that at this point. Until God sent a prophet to who? Or to whom? David. And he came back. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, sorry. Lord, then I have to write Psalm 51. Forgive me. Clean my heart. Oh, God, I know I have sinned. But this time he was not ready to do anything about it. All that he wanted to do, he was trying to do, to cover the shame. So that maybe next time, because with that shame, if he's performing his specific assignment as army chief or something, you know, who have been in the military force before, you know, chief of commander or something, right? Mm-hmm. I cannot perform my duty, that specific duty. I cannot, because of that shame. So you are trying to go through a kind of human effort, but it was not about that. It wasn't about that. Instead of rising up, he did not want to do. My brothers and sisters, let us rise up to do the ministry. Let us rise up. Maybe it is your talent is about soul winning. Maybe your talent is about counseling. Maybe your talent is about singing. Maybe your talent is preparing that kind of super tea and coffee and all that we enjoy here. Praise the Lord. Like my dear medical doctor. You see, now, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now, David was not ready to do that. He was just thinking of shame more than rising up. My brothers and sisters, yes, sometimes you may be thinking of that. Because we are human beings. And the devil will keep reminding you and me about our shame. About our disgrace, about our sin. So he may just come to you, or to me, I'm included, I'm proud, that Francis, you say you want to do God's work, who are you? You fell in 2016, somewhere at Bahnhof. You remember that lady? And you say you want to do God's work, just look at the shame. I think that is the time that we have to remind the enemy that, hey, my enemy, don't be joyful over me, because when I fall, I will rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Amen. Let us rise up without thinking of the shame. the devil will just continue to remind you of the shame and everything. You have to tell him that my shame has been taken and it's right on the cross. My sins have been taken and Jesus Christ has sent my sin right on the cross. So, God, it doesn't matter what you say about me that I'm shameful. Yes, I know I was a sinner. That shame was there, but I don't care. It doesn't matter what you say about me. I was once a sinner and I was carried that shame. But I want to tell you, my enemy, this time around, that shame, I don't carry it anymore. It has been taken from me and it has been sent right on the cross. So my Jesus has taken that shame. So I don't care about what you say about me, my enemy. Amen. He'll come back again. He will never end over there. He'll tell you, okay, I know that. But I want to tell you, you are a sinner. Tell him, my sin has been taken away from what? From me. And it's right on the cross. So I don't care about my past that you are talking about. If you refer me about my past, I will refer you to the cross, devil. Anytime when somebody refers you to your past, refer him, or your enemy refers you to your past, from, refer him to the cross. And if you don't do that, that shame will always be on us. And we find it difficult to rise up to do any specific assignment that God wants us to do because of that shame. That shame will let us always be reserved, stand there. Because we feel like we are so shameful. People will see us that we did that thing and that shame is on us. And because of that, we don't want to do God's ministry again. The shame has been taken away from us. Look at the cross. He will never mind. He will come back again. And he tell you, you cannot do it. It is very difficult to do this work. Tell him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the work is not about being a macho. If not, David wouldn't have been able to kill who? Goliath. It is not about Superman. It's about anointing. That is why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that when the power comes on you, you receive what? Power. Or the Holy Ghost comes, you receive power. And you'll be able to witness. The Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed. It doesn't matter what you say about my life. It's past. And Jesus has taken it from me. He will come back again and tell you. But do you know that you cannot do it because you are weak? What will you say? Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. You are strong in the house of God because of the anointing, because of the power. It is not bad. You know, it's not just like this. It is about the anointing. It is about the power. You are strong in the Lord. You are strong. I am strong. We are strong physically. We are strong emotionally. We are strong practically. We are strong spiritually to do our Father's way. Let us rise up and do our Father's way. We should not let any past be a burden for us. If not, we cannot perform any specific assignment that our God has asked us to do. Because of that shame, we also remember and we think we don't qualify to do God's way. We don't have to be thinking of that. I've come to the end of my message. There's something in you, good in you. If you don't know that there's something good in you, see the pastor, see some of the elders. They'll pray with you, and God will reveal it to you, and they will tell you. We talk about our specific assignments, and we read 2 Samuel chapter 11, 1 to what? 15. We talk about three main points. The first point, we talk about the neglect of duty. The next point, it was about David has fallen. And the last point, thinking of shame more than rising up. Thank you so much. God bless you.